Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast from the vast expanses of my office here at the Yes Network studios.
Before we get into Stamford, Connecticut. Before we get into it, the last time we did this show, I had a bit of a coughing fit on the air.
Yeah, my dad brought that up when he was listening
to it. We don't have a cough button here.
Does Joey have a cough button?
We don't have a cough button here. Just letting you know that. And I'm not listening to 45 minutes worth of, nonsense, which I'm calling the show nonsense, to take out every cough that I had. My daughter got me sick. I apologize to anybody out there that was offended by my...
Well, if someone's offended by coughing, we have really gone downhill as a nation.
A couple people were offended. Just letting you know.
All right. Well, whatever. You were sick.
Clearing that up.
You know what? Joe comes to work hurt. Okay? He plays hurt.
That's right.
What does that say about the rest of you out there who don't play hurt? Anyway, we're going to start. Our last one was about the Yankees. We wrapped up the Yankee season, and there will be no Yankees in this podcast. I guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. But we will talk about the New York Football Giants. And let me, before I go off on my little tangent here, and then Joe has his rebuttal, before I say anything, I just want to say that as a Giant fan myself, I cannot be happier about the way things have gone this year. They're 6-3. They're coming off their Super Bowl, and people know, Giant fans know, historically, coming off a Super Bowl year, Giants don't really fare too well the next season. Whether it still remains to be seen if they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs, if they make it this year. But traditionally, the year after a Super Bowl for the Giants has not been kind to Giant fans. Let's just put it this way. There have been no dynasties as a Giant football fan. But we have been lucky enough to see 4 Super Bowl victories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, starting in 86, 90, and then, of course, the 2 past ones.
07-11, yeah. Every four years.
Every election. It's like an election. You got to wait 4 years, but you get another Super Bowl victory.
Right.
It could be worse. You could be a Jet fan, 1969.
Right.
Anyway.
And have Tim Tebow on your team.
That's another discussion.
Disaster.
But having said that, I have to start breaking them down a little bit, and starting with the Cowboy game. Now, I always like to say, and I tweeted this out, and of course, everything I tweet out gets destroyed because that's what people on Twitter do. They just, flex their Twitter muscles, and they're right. I've never seen anything in my life have more right people ever. Everybody's right on Twitter. Everybody. That's the basis of Twitter. No one's wrong. Except me, apparently. I'm wrong all the time. And people, trust me, people tell me about it and they call me names as they do it. And they get blocked. I'm like Jay Moore. You come on, you do it, you get blocked.
Yeah, and at least you're putting it out there.
But here's what I said. And it was during the Cowboy game. And the Giants almost got burned in that Cowboy game. Dallas turned it over 5 times. 5! 4 less times than Ferris Bueller when absent during the school year and Ferris Bueller's vacation. That was 9, by the way. 5 times. And they were 2 inches from beating the Giants. 2. If Dez Bryant's finger touches blue on that last play, the Giants have lost 2 in a row. And I know that it didn't. I know a win is a win. But the Giants this season, with the exception of the Carolina Panthers game, have not been able to just put teams away. They haven't been able to take turnovers and put teams away.
And just to make you feel worse, because I know you said five, the Cowboys turned the ball over six times.
Well, I was talking about the first half.
Oh, okay. They still turned it over six times.
All right.
Six times.
Five in the first half. And as I was tweeting, how the Cowboys are still alive in this game after turning the ball over six times is beyond me.
They took the lead.
And they took the lead. And Romo threw for almost 450 yards. He had a TD and four interceptions. And he almost beat the Giants.
Yeah. It's...
It drives me absolutely insane. Now, I can't say the same thing about the Steeler game. I can't. Because the offense didn't do anything against the Steelers' defense. They did nothing. Besides... Andre Brown, or his dog says, Andre. Besides Andre Brown scoring...
I like that Andre Brown.
Besides him scoring from a yard out, tell me, what did the Giants offense do that game?
Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely zero. Eli Manning had an awful game.
Eli was 1 for 5 in the fourth quarter. The offense in the fourth quarter on their four drives had -9 yards.
The one pick he threw... was ridiculous. It was
-9.
There was not a Giant in the area. And look, the one thing that football is, it's a game of adjustments. And teams are adjusting to the fact that, look, the Giants go deep. They're a big play offense. And they have taken away those big plays the last 2 weeks. Victor Cruz has not had a big play. Hakeem Nicks has not had a big play. The Giants need to adjust with the adjustment the league has made on them. And if they have to do more quick slants and things that are, you know, tighter in the box, then so be it. But the team has to adjust.
It's going to be interesting because this week they're in Cincinnati where the franchise hasn't won ever. They're 0-5 lifetime in Cincinnati. And conversely, the Bengals are 0-3. At MetLife or the
Giant Stadium or whatever,
whatever you want to call it. But heading in to Sun, you know, this is not a pushover game.
No. They have
Bengals under 500, but they
a lot of talent. Dalton is a good quarterback. AJ Green is a heck of a receiver.
The saving grace for the Giants is that they're on the road. I hope the Giants don't get home field advantage because
they
play better on the road. Playing at Giant Stadium is the same thing as playing at Yankee Stadium. There's no home field advantage. There's no home field advantage.
They're a better team.
Not anymore. And I think they play better under the adversity of being on the road, going against the crowd,
rather than
having a crowd that barely goes for them at home.
I also think that when it comes down to it,
Chris, having a lobster dinner in the
I think there's
restaurant or whatever.
I think there's a lot less pressure on the Giants too because even when it was Giants Stadium, this was a better road team. This team that they've put together. Going back to 2007 when
the Giants...
But
you have to agree they had more of a home field advantage at the old place.
But I'm saying even when the old place was open in
2007... No, I agree with you there.
This is a better road team. They go on the road. They feel like, you know, they're more... They actually feel more at home on the road. They go. There's less pressure on them for some reason. They go to these different towns. They're not thinking about what's going on the home front. They're just, you know, they're together as a team, they travel as a team, and they win as a team. They just have some karma on the road that it's inexplainable.
And three words should scare the bejesus out of Giant fans this weekend. That's been Jarvis Green Ellis. The guy is...
The law firm.
He's doing well for Cincinnati this year, and the Giants couldn't stop Isaac Redman last week. How in the world are they going to stop Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? I'm not saying he's Barry Sanders, but if you can't stop Isaac Redman,
who had a career high last
147 yards on 25 carries, just unbelievable.
The Giants have been very susceptible to giving up a big time running plays this year. I mean, LeSean McCoy burned them in the Eagles game. Alfred Morris he burned them in the Redskins game. The Giants are giving up big-time running plays this year on defense.
And, you know, the other thing the Giants have to worry about too, Joe, and I brought it up before, Lawrence Tynes has kicked 26 field goals this year. And we talked about it before we started. The Giants have a great success rate when they get into the red zone. In fact, they have the best success rate in the red zone in the entire league. Scoring, not touchdowns, scoring. To put it into perspective, the Tennessee Titans have the same percentage of success that the Giants have in the red zone. The Titans stink. That doesn't mean anything. It just means the Giants, they have 26 field goals. And they have 25 touchdowns.
Two of which are defensive, by the
way. Two of which are defensive. That has to change. And the point I tried to make, the thing I said on Twitter, as I bring it back around now, it's that famous line from Connery in The Untouchables. And I can't say it because, well, I could say it because I'm Italian, but, you know, just like a you-know-what, bringing a knife to a gunfight. And the Giants bring field goals to touchdown fights, week in and week out. And I say it all the time. Sooner or later, it's going to come back to bite them. It could have in the Cowboy game, where they could have put Dallas away early and often. There could have been people leaving the 1,000-foot-wide HD television at the new Texas Stadium, or whatever the heck it's called, Cowboy Stadium. Jerry Jones is, by the way, I love the story. After last week's game when they lost, I think it was to Atlanta, and the locker room door was locked, and he couldn't get in, and he was banging on the locker room.
I want me some glory hole!
I don't know where you're going with that.
That's what Jerry Jones said. That was his big line.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I want me some glory hole.
What was he referencing?
I don't know. And then he was killing the Giants, saying, "We're gonna kick the Giants' butts when they come down here." And now he's 0-4 in his new stadium against the Giants.
It's just unbelievable how
very talented team. Very talented Dallas team.
It is, but
he just can't put it all together.
He has to step aside,
and he's not going to.
No.
But going back to the Giants, Chris, there have been points, looking at last year, Eli Manning single-handedly won a lot of games for the New York Giants. And looking at this year, other than the last 2 weeks, Eli Manning has been brilliant this year. Brilliant. He's not had a good two-game stretch here. Pittsburgh was not a good game. No touchdowns again. Dallas was not a good game. You know, no touchdowns there. This could be the week that they get it back on track. I know what you're saying with, you know, kicking too many field goals, but it goes back to that old adage, and I'm just playing devil's advocate. You know, looking at it from a Yankees perspective, taking the Yankees into perspective, people kill them for the runners in scoring position, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they're 1-for-13. Just throwing that at the wall.
Right.
But the Yankees were saying, well, you know, we're getting 13 chances a game to score. We're putting ourselves in position to score. Granted, that was what killed them in the end. They didn't score.
That's on their gravestone.
Right. But the Giants are at least getting those scoring opportunities. They're getting a lot of them. And they're scoring. They're at least putting something up on the board. And they're winning games. If they win this week, they'll have a 70% winning clip. They're 7-3 going into the bye. You can't ask too much more from the team. If you had said it before the season that before the bye they'd have seven wins,
I would sign for
it. You'd sign for
it. Absolutely. That's why I said I can't get upset.
But again,
but if you go into Cincinnati and throw up another stinker and head into the bye 6-4 and let all these teams that have gone 1-4 in their last five games, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins,
you're letting them back in it.
Sneak back into the race.
You're letting them back in it.
You know, I just want to see them finish strong.
You have a chance to kind of distance.
I want to see them score some touchdowns.
Right.
Right. I want a little breathing room because after the bye, at home, they get the Packers, which is a winnable game. I don't care what anybody says because their defense
stinks. First of all, the Packers,
stinks.
I have the Red Zone channel, so I watch week in and week out, you know, the different games that are going on. And I've seen the Packers. They're not that impressive. They're a very good offensive team.
Aaron Rodgers is a tremendous quarterback.
Nobody is questioning the Packers on offense. Their defense is not that good. Not that good, Chris. There's a lot of holes on that. It's a lot of Swiss cheese on that
defense. At the beginning of the season, the back end of the schedule looked worse than it does now.
Agreed.
Agree. Okay. After the Packers at home, they go on the road to the Redskins.
It's a tough game.
It's a
very winnable
Monday night, which I hate.
Again, though, it's on the road. A divisional game on the road.
And they could definitely pay back the Redskins and sweep them this year like the Redskins swept them last year. But another, it's a tough game. I'm not going to take anything away from the Skins. They're playing
you never
good
know.
Football. But
you know, Robert Griffin III.
Up and down.
Right. They just, you know what the problem with the Redskins is? They don't have, other than Morris and, you know, Robert Griffin, they don't have anything else around them.
Right.
There's no supporting cast. So you saw the Giants game was evidence. You know, they take the lead and the Giants have the horses to come back and beat the Redskins. That could be another game where it's last possession wins. I mean, it could be.
New Orleans, who's starting to play better, they come to Giants Stadium.
That's better for the Giants. That's the one road game you don't want to see the Giants play because they're terrible
in
New Orleans.
It's December 9th, so you hope Mother Nature plays a little factor here, gets a little coldness in.
That's the one place.
The same outside.
Right, that's the one place the Giants are not good on the road.
And then after New Orleans in week 14, week 15, excuse me, mark that one on your calendars. December 16th, 1 o'clock. Does that fall into the weeks that it could be flexed? Because I'm thinking that game could be flexed to 8 o'clock.
It could be. I mean, depending on what
the Giants do. But that's against the Falcons. Right now, it's scheduled for the 16th at 1 o'clock. The following week, see, this is back-to-back away games. Again, I love them on the road. But it's Falcons and Ravens back-to-back.
And to me, the problem with the Ravens has been watching them on a week-to-week basis. You know, they haven't been the same defensive team. They're just battling injuries. And they also have an identity crisis on offense. From what now we're hearing, basically you want the ball in the hands of your best player majority of the time. Their best player is Ray Rice. Mm-hmm. Ray Rice cannot be getting, you know, 9 touches for, you know, 80 yards and a touchdown because Joe Flacco is calling audibles at the line. There's a big problem right there. Cam Cameron is now putting the onus on Joe Flacco saying, yes, we wanted him to improve this year. But I'm calling Ray Rice plays. He's the one that's calling audibles at the line. So there's already a divide with the Ravens on offense. So there's a lot of problems with the Ravens right now.
And they end the season week 17 at home against the Eagles. And I know the Eagles are a mess right now, but it's a division game. The Eagles always play the Giants tough.
Agreed.
I don't care who's at quarterback.
Nick Foles is the backup there.
Nick Foles.
Yeah. I mean,
I just like Kafka.
It really could be, by that time for the Eagles, it could be a disastrous situation for them. That could be a Giants victory. I mean, they could come to play, but that's a game where you circle on the calendar.
Especially
and
if
say,
there's something on the line. The Eagles aren't going to come to MetLife and just lay down.
No,
it's
but
not going to happen.
They
have
also,
too many competitors on that team. LeSean McCoy, Michael Vick.
And going back to the baseball analogy, it also could be the Boston Red Sox coming into Yankee Stadium at the end where, you know, they know their coach is done. Their team is decimated, and they're spiraling out of control. So that could be a game to watch where if the Eagles don't come back in this thing, you could kind of pencil that in as a, you know, if the Giants don't win that game, that's a real problem.
So 7-3 going into the bye. Then you have 1, 2, 3,
well, that's,
four,
that's if they win
5, 6. Right.
Yeah.
They have 6 games after that. Okay.
So they need to go 3-3 to at least go 10-6. That would win them the division.
And
probably.
I think they do that. I think they could go 500. Packers, Redskins, Saints, Falcons, Ravens.
What's funny about this schedule, Chris, is we're looking at it and we're saying, oh, they're playing the Packers. Oh, they're playing the Saints. Oh, they're playing the Falcons. And you know, these other teams and these other fans are saying, oh, they're playing the Giants. So it's like we're seeing it from one end of the perspective. We're saying, oh, yeah, they're playing these tough teams, but these teams are saying the Giants are a tough team. So it's, you know, you got to look at it from that perspective. We're looking at it from one angle.
But I'm telling you right now.
They need to go 3-3 out of the break if they beat Cincinnati this week.
Mark my words. This podcast, taping November 9th. If the Giants are in flux, and there's playoff positioning, or there's one of these NFC East teams that start to climb back up the ladder and challenge him for the division, put a huge magnifying glass on the Steelers game. They were leading 20-10 going into the fourth quarter at home. Those are games you must win.
Ultimately, I agree with you. I think the advantage is that they have the Packers at home after the bye. That's a huge difference for them. And, you know, I just think that if they beat Cincinnati this week, I think they go 4-2 down the stretch. They go 11-5. They secure a number three spot in the playoffs in the NFC. And I think once the Giants get to the playoffs, you know what they can do in the playoffs. Anything goes.
Well, I just hope, like I said, I hope there's no home games. I just hope they have to go and play on the road, because I sound like a broken record, but I like them better when they're on the road. I just want to throw this out at you before we wrap things up here, Joe. And I've asked friends this, Jet fan friends this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your perspective on this. I know what mine is. Tim Tebow has, I want to say a total of 32 touches through the Jets' 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
32.
So what does that tell you?
Why did they get this guy? Was essentially for the back page. Because the way Sanchez is playing right now, and I know their line, their offensive line stinks, and I can't get too nuts on Mark Sanchez, but I've watched a lot of Jet games. We're in the New York area, and unfortunately, you know, we get stinkers after the Giants play. And
Red Zone Channel, baby.
And we
Red Zone Channel.
pay the $10 and just get it cheap, you know. Anyway, but I watch the Jets almost every week. And I watch Sanchez, and I know the line stinks, but he's regressing. And I know he doesn't have receivers to throw the ball to either, and sometimes the receivers don't catch the ball. I mean, he does make some good throws.
But he makes some really poor decisions.
But you're supposed to make your team better in that position. Yeah. You know, you can't make excuses. You have to make plays. There's a lot of other teams that don't have, you know, that have injuries, that have playmakers down. They're still flourishing.
And like I've always said, Chris, the quarterback position is twofold. Look, you can make excuses all you want that there's no weapons around him. And you know what? He deserves that, because he deserves to be, he deserves that excuse. There's no weapons around this guy. And no running game, there's nothing. It's him out there. However, if a quarterback is going to make that leap to the next level, you look at Eli Manning, you look at Peyton Manning, you look at Ben Roethlisberger. Peyton Manning is a prime example right now. His weapons are Decker, you know, Denarius Thomas. These guys didn't have big years before this year. Peyton Manning has elevated the level of play because he's an elite quarterback, of everybody around him. He's made Decker the player that he is.
Yeah.
Stokely, coming out of nowhere, having a decent year. Ben Roethlisberger's the same way. He's got weapons. He's got Wallace. But Roethlisberger, by him buying time and giving his receivers an extra 2-3 seconds by the way he maneuvers that pocket, he makes them better. He makes them look better. So there comes a point where you have to say, okay, look, he doesn't have anything around him. But his level of play could make these guys around him a little bit better.
And it's regressed. I just want to know why they got Tim Tebow.
I never thought I would do this in my life. I actually think Rex Ryan was not part of that. And it's starting to show that Rex Ryan and the coaching staff didn't want this guy.
So you're saying this is Mr. T
and
Woody Johnson.
I think this is all on Woody Johnson.
Okay.
I think this is an owner who likes to get the back page. You know, he like his team. The identity of his team is they like to steal the back page from the Giants. They like to be in the spotlight. And I truly think that Woody Johnson wanted this guy, and maybe Mr. T was involved in it, maybe Tannenbaum was involved in this, but I think this is a guy that likes the flash, that likes his team being on the back page.
And Ryan is being the guy, the coach that doesn't want to listen to what his owner has to say.
I really think that's what it is. I think Ryan was given the piece of the puzzle that Woody Johnson and Tannenbaum gave him, and I think he's saying, look, we've seen him in practice. You know, we tried to build packages around this guy. To me, they were talking all, you know, bold before the year that they were going to have run-pass combos, run-pass options with this guy.
Well,
that they were going
to. That's the thing I don't understand, because they said he was going to be. I don't think I've seen him in one red zone package.
And they did early on. And
one goal line situation.
Sanchez drove the entire team down, and they got 0 points out of it because they put Tim Tebow in the game. So that's my point. Like, I think they've seen this guy in practice. They've seen this guy on a day-to-day basis. And I think they realize he stinks. I'm just being honest. I think they realize he stinks. And I'm sorry to all you Tim Tebow fans out there, but I'm pretty sure that this guy is not going to be ever a good quarterback in the NFL.
I think he's a tremendous athlete. I really do.
Not killing him.
And I think he's a football player.
Agreed.
I just don't think he's a quarterback. And in 8 games, I was right. Oh, wait, hold on a second. He's thrown 3 passes. I was wrong. I was 26 touches, not 32. 23 runs for 78 yards. So 8 games, 23 rushing attempts, and 3 passes. So that's 26 touches in 8 games. That's 3.2 touches per game. That was worth all the money and the draft picks that they spent to get this guy?
That's what I'm saying.
This guy.
I really think that Rex Ryan and the coaching staff see that he's not a quarterback, that they cannot go into these games and say, you know what, we're going to put the ball in Tim Tebow's hands because, you know, we're going to do some run-pass options. I don't think they want to see him throw the ball. As bad as Mark Sanchez has been, I don't think they want to see this guy throw the ball. Look, if Sanchez was that good.
Agree or disagree. All right.
If Sanchez
finish
was,
your point.
I mean, if Tebow was that good. Here's my point. If Tebow was that good, Sanchez has been pretty mediocre to bad this year. Wouldn't there be a quarterback controversy within the team? Wouldn't the coaches be saying, yeah, you know, Tim Tebow might progress. Sanchez needs to play better. We haven't heard any of that. We haven't heard that Sanchez has been really bad. We're going into week 10. He's been really bad. This guy came in and was supposed to be breathing down his neck, and we haven't heard that once.
But is it because Ryan is playing the stubborn, hard-headed coach, or is it because...
I think they think he stinks.
The entire coaching staff.
I think they think
including Sperano, who is the Wildcat expert.
That's my point. Sperano's the Wildcat expert, and he's
this guy isn't even sniffing
the... He's got 23 runs this year. So they don't want to put the game in this guy's hands.
He's good on the punt team.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just saying, that's my point. You haven't heard a lick of quarterback controversy.
Here's even better for you. The most touches he's had in a game. Week 1 against Buffalo, he ran the ball 5 times for 11 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And week 5 against the Texans, he ran the ball 5 times. For 19 yards.
Mm-hmm.
His highest rushing total of the season came in week 2 against the Steelers in that 27-10 loss in Pittsburgh. One touch.
For 22 yards.
For 22 yards.
Yeah.
One. So he hasn't had more than five touches in a game.
The evidence is there for now. We're far enough into the season where you can say the Jets.
I'm buying in.
Coaching staff.
I'm buying into Auriemma's logic
the
here.
The coaching staff just doesn't want to put the game in this guy's hands. And that's even with a 3-5 record and a quarterback that's been less than mediocre and a team that has no weapons. Zero weapons.
None.
They brought this guy
in. So you should be giving this guy an opportunity.
So you're telling me with the running, the rushing, I'm sorry, we're looking at a picture of Mark Sanchez looking goofy. But
like it's his NewYorkJets.com picture for his page. He's looking like it's GQ. Oh boy.
You know, you just look at it and you would think that the way the offense has been playing and with the, you know, the lack of talent that they have, that he'd be getting more touches. So that's all that it tells me.
Sanchez has had two solid games this season. I checked that. Three. The 35-9 win over Indianapolis. We really didn't have to do too much. He threw 18 passes. He completed 11 for 82 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
The loss against New England, which the Jets should have won, and you can't blame that on Sanchez because...
I blame that on play calling. Well, not they only, got timid at the end.
Who's the kid who dropped the pass? I forget his name. 84.
Hill.
Stephen Hill. He catches that pass and gets that first down. That game is over.
Oh, I agree with you. But even at the end, the play calling, you're telling me, and I'm going to compare them
to the
Giants.
Oh, no, they settled. I don't even care.
I don't care. I'm going to compare
them. They settled. They ran the ball three times up the – no, they ran twice up the gut. They got the gift. They got the fumbled return by McCourty. Sure. They got the gift at the Patriots' 19-yard line. They ran the ball two times straight up the middle and got Bupkis. Then on third and long, ooh, what are they going to do? They're going to pass. He rolls to his right and gets sacked.
My whole thing is any
That's
team,
one of the bad mistakes, though, Joe. He took a sack on that third and ten.
Any team.
You got to throw that ball away.
Do the Giants have that type of play calling with Eli Manning in that spot? No. And you would think that the Jets...
No, the Giants go shotgun and do the inside handoff.
Oh, the inside draw.
Seconds.
Stop with the inside draw. Okay, but do... if you have basically the season on the line, that's a game where you can steal one from the pass.
And that could have been their season right there. That
you
that
could
loss,
steal one from the pass.
Because they come home and you remember
that
they
division
got
was
drilled.
That
they
division
were all
was 500.
They
that
were
division
all
was 500. You can steal one from the Pats.
And they, you know, they win that. They're 4-3. The Pats are 3-4. Then you come home with some confidence to face Miami, and instead of maybe getting drilled 30-9 by
there's
the Dolphins.
There. That's what I'm saying.
It's tough. And, you know, I'm not making fun of the Jets. I have a lot of friends who are Jet fans, and I see what they go through. And it's just, you know, my good friend Mike, and you know him too, had one of the best things he ever put on Facebook.
The bye week?
No. The Jets,
that was funny.
What did he say during the bye week?
The bye week, he goes, I can guarantee one thing this week. The Jets will not lose on Sunday.
Even better than that, week four against the 49ers. They're losing 34-0. He puts on Facebook, I have led the Jets to just as many points from my couch with a beer in my hand.
It's a sad statement.
You can't make it up, but you can't sit there and not feel bad for a Jet fan and their plight because, you know, the team is a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
They've regressed. You know, they had
Rex Ryan was boasting this to be the best defense in
I'll
the
tell
NFL.
You what,
they
when they went to the back-to-back and AFC championship games, when they went to back-to-back, that was a totally different team. That was a team that Rex could work with. I'm being serious. Look, I'm not saying Rex is, you know, what he proclaims to be, that he thinks he's, you know, the Donald Trump of coaches. But, look... Bottom line is, you know, he had a team that he could work with. Solid defensive core, decent on offense with some nice pieces, a team that kind of reminded you, and I'm not going to ever say a team's going to remind you of the 2000 Ravens, but I'm going to say a team that you could win with a team that was built like the Bears from 2006, like the Ravens from 2000,
where you had a solid,
really good defense with an offense that can get you the points that you need to win the game.
David Harris, Bart Scott, Leonard, and they had, Brian Thomas.
They had the pieces there to improve.
Darrell Revis, and instead a healthy Darrell Revis.
Instead of improving, they had a roster turnover, and they've just regressed.
That's the general manager. I'm sorry.
The questions were there before the season, Chris. The questions
they
were
needed
there.
Linebackers.
They had no offense.
They needed an offensive line. They needed help at the running back position. They needed help at the defensive line. They needed help at wide receiver. And none of those got addressed because
they traded for Tim Tebow. Yeah. So everything, you know, you hear, you know, Mike Tannenbaum talking to Boomer and Carton before the year. I vividly remember this interview, you know, talking to Boomer and Carton from camp. And Carton, you know, putting the pedal to the metal. I give him a lot of credit for taking Mr. T to task and saying, look, I'm looking at this roster right now, and there is not a lot of talent on this offense. And Mike Tannenbaum saying, we think we have the pieces that we could put together a winning offense and a winning team. And you know what? Carton, like the rest of the Jet fans and like everybody else that was out there, you know, could see what was the problem. And now you're seeing exactly what the problem is. And Mr. T just, I don't know what he was thinking before the year, but he was, you know, sticking by his guns saying, no, this team can win. This team is good enough to win. I'm sorry. You built a very bad team.
And, you know, I keep going back to 2009, the AFC Championship game in 2009, where they, and I understand why they had kid gloves on a rookie Sanchez, but you are beating Peyton Manning in his building at halftime. You have a third and plus 20 in the third quarter, and the kid is handing off. What do you have to lose at that point? Seriously. What did they lose that game? 30-17?
Yeah.
Yeah, 30-17. I'm not even a Jet fan, and I was irate that they were, that Schottenheimer and Ryan were keeping this kid down. You know what? If he loses it, he loses it. You're there. You have the lead. You're beating Peyton in his building. Go for the jugular. Don't sit back on your heels. And that's what they did up in New England a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
They had New England on their heels. When McCourty fumbled that kickoff, that was like someone winding up and punching that stadium in the stomach. I can't believe we're going to lose to the Jets.
Yeah.
And they run the ball twice for nothing. And then he takes a 10 or 12-yard sack on third down and almost puts Falk at a field goal range.
Yeah.
That is the microcosm of the Jets season right there. You want to go back in the 2012 season? That sequence of plays right there is going to be on the Jets' gravestone for 2012.
It's a sad situation, Chris. It's a sad commentary on a franchise that you could see had a lot of momentum going when they, you know, with the new hire and coming into the new stadium. And, you know, I'm sorry, they shot themselves in the foot by wanting to always be, you know, the top dog in the media. They shot themselves in the foot last year. Well, I'm telling you, that Giants win last year propelled that team to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Against the Jets. That
by them running their
win.
Mouth.
Yeah.
You know, this is the sad commentary on a franchise that you thought, you know, after years and years and years of being down, you thought there was a glimmer of hope.
Just maybe.
And they just reverted back to the
same old
Jets.
And we're going to leave it right there. That was a great commentary from my buddy Joe Auriemma. And we will see you next time here on the Off the Wall podcast. We were hoping to have some Giants beat writers in the future as we head down the back end of the Giants schedule next week, a bye week, so the Giants can't lose next week, just like the Jets. Oh, my good buddy Mike Tita. When you ever need a laugh, you just look at his Facebook timeline. Anyway, for Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next time from my office in another Off the Wall podcast right here on YesNetwork.com.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.